areas. And so I took the prayer and divided it up into 7 different prayers. And so I want to mention these, and then I just want us to pray. And we'll just, if we don't get done with all 7, that's okay. But I just want us to begin going through here. And then I would encourage you, when you go home, and throughout this week, if you want a good devotional, go to this particular chapter, chapter 6, 2 Chronicles chapter 6, and read through King Solomon's prayer. Now, remember, King Solomon was the son of David, and he was placed on the throne after David resigned and got old, and it was time for him to step aside and have his son take the throne. God had told him that his son Solomon would take the throne. And remember, David wanted to build a tabernacle or a temple, and he started working on that, and God sent Nathan the prophet, told him, "No, you're a man of war. I want this task to be done by your son, Solomon." So he recognized that God had his hand in it. So then after Solomon, came to power, then he built the temple. And in 1946, a man by the name of Phinehas Dake took all of the measurements of the temple as we knew it, according to the standard of precious metals at that time, in 1946. It would have cost, in 1946 dollars, $172 million to build. And that is often illustrated to the point to me. I remember years ago when Reverend Schuller built the glass crystal cathedral in California. I think it cost like about $19 million to build, and people were enraged. They just blew up all over the place over that. And in today's culture, I can understand where it might have been a problem. But if you look at it in the broad scope of things, that stuff just doesn't mean a whole lot to God. He doesn't really get hung up over that like we think that he should, because we're hung up over it. And but if you looked at the cost in 2000 for Solomon to have built his temple in 2000 prices, you're probably looking at about $15 billion. And so it's just, and perhaps even more. So Solomon, anyway. In chapter verse 12 of chapter 6, it says, "Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the whole assembly of Israel and spread out his hands. And he had made a bronze platform 5 cubits long, which would be 7.5 feet long, 7.5 feet wide, and 4.5 feet high. And he placed it in the center of the outer court. He stood on the platform and then knelt down before the whole assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven and began to say," okay? And we'll get to that in just a second. But I want to just kind of focus on something for a moment, which is, we've been talking about the prayer that Jesus gave us in Matthew, and sometimes we get hung up on the rote memorization of prayers, and we get hung up into the saying of them from memory. We lose sight of the power that is invested in each word, and that prayer is just an awesome prayer. Same can be said about any prayer under the Old Testament, that these people prayed these prayers. Solomon prayed this prayer by virtue of the revelation he had of God. We have a much broader revelation of God, much broader, and we have a much greater covenant than what he did. And So as I was thinking about this today, I thought, you know, in the Old Testament prayers, they presented their request and their answers according to their understanding of the Old Covenant. We need to understand that to us in the New Covenant, those same prayers can be prayed and those same answers can be anticipated, but in the person of Jesus Christ, which means that he may have a totally different way of answering those prayers. And so it's like never sell God short. God knows strategy to bring about answers to your prayers that you never thought. And so we need to keep working on the fact that we're praying prayers, but we're trusting God to answer them. And as I was talking with Rudy at the go-round, is that oftentimes we have a prayer, but that prayer is associated with our plan as to how it can be answered, what God needs to do. And there comes a point where you got to say, God, I really want this to happen, but it's got to be your plan. It's got to be, you've got to carry it out your way. And I want to encourage you that wherever you're at in your walk with the Lord, if you're believing God for a specific answer to come to pass in the life of your children, the life of your spouse, in the life of whoever, trust God. Trust Him. You're praying. You're talking to the Father. 1 Corinthians 5 says that this is the confidence we have, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know we have the petition we desired of Him. If you have a revelation that God hears you, that's all you got to do. It doesn't require any great revelation of faith, any great revelation of the Word. It's just one simple truth. If you really believe that God hears you, that's all it requires. You'll get it. But just don't put any parameters on how God is going to answer that prayer. Give Him the freedom to do it however He wants to. Amen? Okay. Prayer number one, I want us to go through then just shortly, for a moment here, is in verse 14, Solomon says, there's no other God like you. Verse 15, you have kept your promises. Verse 16, you never fail. You promise that David will never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. So the promise at this point then is to David's children. Everybody say children. He says, if your sons are careful to do all that they do to walk before me and according to my law. Okay. And then verse 17 says, let your word that you promise your servant David come true. So this first prayer then is the prayer for our children and their walk with the Lord. And so as you spend some time perhaps in your own prayer life, in your own meditation time and private time with the Lord, go back through these first four verses and declare that God says if you surrender, you and your household will be saved. So it doesn't matter what your kids are doing. It doesn't matter what's going on with them. All right? I shouldn't say it. In terms of eternity, because you're praying for your children, God's going to resolve those issues. He's going to do it. All right? So what I want you to do at this point is we need to pray for our children. Right now, according to what he said here, he says, because your word that you promised to servant David will come true. David is a picture of Jesus. So all the promises of God in Christ are yea, and in him, amen. God's going to answer those prayers. God's going to take your kids and bring them to a place of surrender to God. What we need to recognize is that nothing's impossible with God. So we need to stand in our position of saying, Lord, as Solomon prayed that the lineage of David would walk with God, I'm praying the same thing for my children. Can we do that right now? Father, we bring before you right now our children. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will rest upon them. We pray, Father God, that you would bring our children back to you. Bring our children to a place of fellowship with you, Lord. Bring our children to a place of repentance. Bring our children, Lord God, to a place to where they walk before you in integrity and in honesty and desire to surrender their life to you. We pray for our children, Father, that your Holy Spirit would literally invade their lives, regardless of what they're doing, regardless of what's going on in their life right now, Father, begin to penetrate their hearts. Begin to penetrate their minds. Begin to penetrate their plans. Begin to penetrate all that they've been doing, Father God, and ring a bell in their mind and recognize that they can recognize that you are calling them and you are asking them to stop and consider their future. Consider what's going on in their life. In the name of Jesus. Right now, Father, say it with me. Heavenly Father, I bring my children before you. As Solomon prayed for his, I'm praying for mine. You would bring them to a place of repentance, a place of submission to you in the name of Jesus. Could you lift your hands and just thank you? Father, we thank you right now, Lord. You're working in our children's lives. Thank you right now, Lord. You're bringing conviction upon their hearts. Thank you right now, Father. You're bringing them to a place to where they remember the things that they were taught. And your Holy Spirit is convicting their hearts. Your Holy Spirit is reminding them of what it means to walk with you, O God. So in the name of Jesus, we arrest them right now, Lord. In Jesus' name, we arrest them, O God, right now, in the name of Jesus. Your word tells us that they're blinded by the God of this world. We ask you, Lord, right now to open up their minds. Shine a light, Lord God, in their minds. Shine a light upon their lives to help them to see that what's going on in their life may be the full product of their own foolish choices. But Father God, you know how to bring us back to you. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. The next prayer is a prayer of thanksgiving. Now Solomon acknowledged that God was far beyond the parameters of that small building. You've got to realize that that building was not probably much bigger than this building in dimensions, both length and breadth. Probably much higher. But it wasn't a huge building like oftentimes we see in Hollywood. And of course, now we know that by the time Herod built the temple in Jerusalem, it was much bigger, but he was doing that to win points with the Jewish people. But Solomon's temple was not an extremely large building. And he says, God, you dwell beyond the dimensions of this building. But he said, hear our cry and our prayer that your servant is praying in your presence. Now remember, their temple was the physical building, the one he built. Okay? Folks, we are the temple of God. So when we pray, God hears us. You don't have to run to this building to pray. Anywhere you pray, you are the temple of God. And his prayers is, may your eyes be open towards this temple. In other words, confer favor upon this temple. Look to this temple, Lord, and give us, answer our prayer and hear what we are saying. Hear from heaven. And if necessary, when you hear, forgive us. I'd like us to give thanks that we are his temple and our prayers are heard. Can we do that right now, Father? We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you hear us when we pray. Thank you, Lord, we're not praying blindly. Thank you, Lord, we're not just speaking words going out in space. But, Father, we thank you that you're hearing us as we pray. Your word promises, Lord, that your ears are open to the prayers of the righteous. Lord, we're not righteous in our own self. We're righteous in the blood of Jesus. We're righteous according to his person. We are wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ. We have entrance into your presence because we're seated with Jesus Christ. We are just an earshot away from you, Lord. We don't have to call long distance. The moment we begin praying, Father, we know you hear us because we are your temple. Thank you, Lord, for not only making us your temple, but your eyes are upon us, O Lord, and you're seeing what we're going through. Jesus is our high priest. He is feeling the feelings that we have, the human weaknesses, he's sensitive to those things because we're one with him, oh God. So we thank you, Jesus, that you hear us as we pray. Thank you that we are your temple. Thank you that your Holy Spirit indwells us. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you adoration. Can we do it now, Lord? We praise you. We lift our hearts, our minds, our hands before you to say thank you, Lord, for your awesome presence that indwells each of us, O Lord. We are your temple, Lord God. Everywhere we go, we are your temple. We are a walking temple. We are a talking temple. We are a praising temple, Lord. We give you thanks right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We bless you, Lord. These are not empty words, O God. They're words filled with thanksgiving. They're words filled, Lord God, with appreciation that you've made us your temple. Lord, as Solomon gave thanks that you indwelt that temple, but you are an awesome God dwelling all space, all time and space. Lord, we thank you that as he prayed before his temple, we are the temple of God. So when we pray, the temple is praying, O God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Prayer number 3 is in verse 22 and 23. This is when a man wrongs his neighbor, he's required to take an oath of repentance and restitution. I'll just forgive my words, but that's what it means. When then hear from heaven and judge between these servants. It's like Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, let a man examine himself. See, God, and the word examine in the Greek literally means to, as an assayer does. You know, he finds out what the composition of the metal is and he determines its value. He does it by examining the substance. Folks, God does it by examining us. And Proverbs says that the heart of the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord searching out the inward parts of the belly. Hello. Inward parts of our being, okay? So he says, hear from heaven and judge between us. As I was looking at it, I thought, you know, how appropriate that is because Hebrews says that the word of the Lord is a sword dividing asunder soul and spirit, marrow and the blood, and literally divides between us the all issues so that God sees absolutely without any doubt. He sees and penetrates deeply into our very being. So we can thank God that his word judges our lifestyle and judges our conduct. And you know, God loves us enough to tell us, you blew it. He loves us enough to say, you know what? Stop short. You're going too far. Come back this way. Hello. Quit talking this way. Start talking this way. You know, you're letting some carnality come in here. Start loving the way you should. Isn't that awesome what God does? But he does it because he loves us. Doesn't do it because he's trying to beat us up. All right? So we can be thankful that God cares enough about us to tell us when we're blowing it. But you know what? He's a God of forgiveness. Amen? He's a God of forgiveness. Let's thank you. Father, we thank you right now that your word divides. Your word penetrates. Your word shows us, Lord, where we're walking right and where we're walking wrong. But Lord, empowers us to, through wisdom, to make the right choice to come back where we ought to be, Lord. Father, thank you for your love and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, that as you judge between those people in that age, you judge between us too. And Lord, we can love others and love people, and even though we may know they're doing wrong, still love them and pray for them and allow your Holy Spirit to speak to them. In the same way your Holy Spirit speaks to us, your Holy Spirit speaks to our neighbor, speaks to those that we live around. Because, Father, you want us to walk godly. You want us to walk in agreement with your word. You told us that we are to be holy even as you are holy. So, Father God, we want holiness in our life. We're not taking for granted walking casually with a don't care attitude, Father God. We want to be careful to measure our steps and to make sure that they're walking in compliance with your word. Jesus, you said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And your number one commandment was to love one another as we are loved. So, Father, in Jesus' name, help us to walk in agreement with your Holy Spirit. Help us to walk in agreement with your word. Thank you for your willingness to tell us what we need to be told and correcting us when we need to be corrected. In Jesus' name, we say thank you to the Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you for loving me enough to correct me. Thank you for loving me enough to tell me I need to change my course. Thank you for loving me enough to tell me when I'm thinking wrong. Thank you, Lord, for telling me when I need to start talking right and thinking right and acting right. Lord, thank you, because you're an awesome God. What's to Solomon, Father, so are you to us, in Christ even more so. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's do this last one here, prayer number four. He says when Israel has been defeated by an enemy because they've sinned. Now, I know all of you enough to know that you struggle over how some of your children are living. And some of the issues that are going on in your children are due to the fact that they've made some bad choices. All right? But listen to what he says here. He says, when your people Israel have been defeated by an enemy, taken captive, if you will, and they've sinned against you, when they turn back and confess your name, praying, making supplication before you in this throne, hear from heaven and forgive their sin. Aren't you glad God forgives us? He says, when the heavens are shut up and there's no rain because your people have sinned against you, when they pray, hear them, forgive them. Verse 27, teach them the right way to live. When famine and plague, and when enemies besiege us, when a prayer or plea is made, may they be aware of their affliction. You see, that's what we want. We want our children to come to an awareness that their choices are bad choices. You see, unless they become aware that their choices are bad, you know what they're going to do? They're going to repeat them. See, you can tell them what they're doing and saying is wrong, but the Holy Spirit gives an awareness that they are doing the wrong thing. Then they think twice, at least, before they make the same choice again. He says, then fear from heaven, forgive them. And then he says in verse 31, so that they will fear you and walk in your ways all the time they live in the land that you gave their fathers. When we suffer from choices to live self-centered lives, God says he will forgive us. All right? What we need to recognize is, okay, we're probably the only holy ones because we're here. Hello. Everybody makes mistakes. None of us are perfect. All right? But sometimes our choices have some pretty bad consequences. That the lives of our children is sometimes really makes some bad choices. And he says when the heavens are shut up and there's no rain because your people have sinned against you. When they pray towards this place, confess your name, turn from their sin because you have afflicted them, hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and teach them the right way to live. So I think the Lord wants to teach us through our negatives. In other words, does God send the problem? No. But our bad choices invites the problem to come in. But it's not enough to acknowledge that I got a problem. It's, am I aware of why the problem is there? All right? And so let's pray, Lord, help me to become aware and bring awareness to my family, to my spouse, to my children, my parents, my siblings, whatever. Can we do that? Father, in Jesus' name, you said here that when things negative come into our lives, Lord, it could be, not necessarily because it is, but it could be because we've made some negative choices. Lord, if we've got some negative consequences bearing down upon us to choices we've made, then forgive us, Lord. Say it with me, Father, if I've made some choices that were foolish, the wrong kind of choice, forgive me. And Lord, not only do I want you to forgive me, but Lord, I receive your forgiveness. In Jesus' name. Lord, Bring I'm praying now. Lord, bring awareness upon our children. Bring awareness upon our family. Lord, I pray for my household, my children. I pray for my father's household, my siblings. Lord, help us to become aware of the choices we've made and the consequences that they've brought into our lives. Teach us, Lord, to walk right. Say it with me. Father, teach me to walk right. Teach my children to walk right. Teach my siblings to walk right. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you. I bless you. I receive this, Lord, right now. In the name of Jesus. Can we just lift our hands and love you? Father, we love you. We love you, Father, that you don't want us to stay where we're at, Lord, but you want us to move and advance towards a higher way of living, a more productive level, a better way of showing forth the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ through our choices and through our actions and through our attitudes, through our speech, through all things, Lord God. So in Jesus' name, bless your people tonight. Thank you for the ones who are here, Lord. Help us to be honest enough, Lord, to recognize we need you. We need you, Lord. And Father, we have no right to claim, Lord, the blessings that are coming our way. They're coming because of grace. They're coming because of mercy. So, Lord, we acknowledge our position of humility and standing before you without making any claims that we should get what comes to us. Lord, if things of your goodness and mercy come, it's because you want to bless us. And we receive it right now. Lord, if our choices have brought on some negative consequences, then Lord, make us aware. And Father, help us to make the choices to make right changes in our lives. And to take the right steps, Lord, back to the path that you've called us to. Father, bless these who are here tonight. Lord, this is an awesome prayer. As a pattern, Lord God, we can look at for our lives every day, every week, every month. Father, in Jesus' name, bless your people. Bless these people, Lord, who are here tonight. In Jesus' name, and we thank you, Father. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.